Matthew chapter 14, very familiar passage. It's part of our vacation Bible school, and I was praying about what to preach on. Lord put this on my heart, and I said, I already taught that Thursday night. And he said, yeah, but you know, those kids get it. The adults don't. Amen. He said, preach it to them for a little while. Amen. All right. Brother Sloan, that's a blessing that you work with the deaf folks. I'm sure that you're familiar with Deaf Harvest on Three Notch Road. Yep. I get to go down there and preach for them in the chapel every now and then. And it's a blessing. And Brother Reggie, me and Brother Reggie are good friends. Matter of fact, he was at my shop this last week. And he gives me a hard time all the time about learning. He said, I wish that you would learn sign. He said, if you would preach in sign, he said, it would be so wonderful. He said, if we could teach you that. And then we get to laughing. And I said, well, all I know is shorthand. I couldn't speak to him. That's because my fingers are cut off on the end. And Brother Reggie just, I mean, he just laughs like crazy when I tell him that about could only speak shorthand because of that. But I do have a place for those deaf folk. They all in my office almost every week. Some of those deaf kids are in my office, and I get to write with them. I don't get to really speak, but write with them. And I write and write and write and write, and we talk back and forth. And every now and then, Carrie will come out as my interpreter, and Carrie will interpret for me. And Carrie's a good girl, good, hardworking girl that will help interpret. So praise the Lord for that. Anyway, Matthew chapter 14, I'll read a very familiar passage of Scripture and just try to preach for a short period of time since it's so warm in here. Amen. Starting in verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth thou art the Son of God. Now you think about that last little phrase there, and you think about those disciples being in the ship, and we're in Matthew chapter 14. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. When those disciples, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Kind of interesting they say that after 14 chapters of John or Matthew chapter 14. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help me just to preach what you put on my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd open the ears, Lord, and soften the hearts to hear the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all be the kind of Christian you just have us to be. And Lord, most of all, somebody in here tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I'd pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, I do want to thank you for a good vacation Bible school, Lord, again. Thank you many times for that and the safety of those kids, Lord, and just all that we learned this week. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn this simple truth of the Bible, Lord. And we give you the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes when God puts things on my heart like this, I've been preaching since 1999 or 98. April of 1999 is when I surrendered to preach. And that first May is when I preached my first message in 1999. And I know after we preach a long time and we've been preaching the gospel for a long time, God will put something like this on your heart, and you think, that's for the kids. That's a kid's story. That's what we tell those. And the Lord says, we're all children. You're all my children, and we all need to learn. I had the privilege of talking to those teenagers this week, and I just want to talk about that for a minute as a way of introduction. But I had those teenagers, and And one of the hardest things and one of the most heartbreaking things is when you do have the opportunity to preach to teenagers. It's a great opportunity to get to tell them the gospel. It's a great opportunity to explain to them how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves them, but it's a heartbreaking opportunity when they don't listen. It's a heartbreaking opportunity when they goof off or they laugh while you're trying to tell them about the most important thing they'll ever do in their life. I mean, it really is. And, you know, that kind of flows on over into adults sometimes, amen. These that come Sunday after Sunday and they don't get it and they don't understand and that all these different things. And when I tried to get those teenagers to understand this last week, because we have so much stuff out there that's called hate crimes. We got so much stuff out there. You and I both know how bad the world is. I don't have to preach to you how bad the world is. You know how bad the world is. Don't have to tell you all those things. But one of the things that, for some reason, that's been embedded in these teenagers' kids or these heads of these teenagers and stuff is that they think for some reason that Jesus is against them or Jesus doesn't like them or the church is against them or the church doesn't like them and all that stuff. And hey, maybe we've portrayed that a little bit in the past. I mean, you know, I was told the whole time I was growing up, I was a snot-nosed heathen. I was told that my whole life. And as I was growing up as a child, and I kind of passed that on myself a little bit. But the bottom line is Jesus Christ is our friend. And Jesus Christ loves us and He cares for us. And I try to help them teenagers. I know how it is when you're in life and all that stuff and you don't think that somebody loves you, and you may, I mean, heaven forbid, you know, I'm not talking out of turn here. You know that almost all kids today are in broken homes. I mean, hardly any of them have a steady daddy and a mama in their life. I mean, I grew up that way myself. I mean, my dad was dead, and my mom, who knows where she was, and all that kind of stuff. And I feel sorry for these teenagers. I hurt for them. But the one thing I don't want them to think is that Jesus Christ don't love them. And Jesus Christ does love them and cares for them. And some of them have learned that. Amen. I was proud. I'm going to brag on Michaela for a minute. I was proud of Michaela. Everybody was already gone out eating. Everybody done went out. Most of all the adults went out and all that stuff. And preacher was trying to get some of these kids to sing songs in front of their peers. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's rough. They had all those teenagers, and some of them are roughnecks. Some of them obviously don't know nothing about Jesus Christ. And Michaela got up there and sang a song. That song she sang this morning, matter of fact, I think, is what she sang to her teenage class on that Friday night. And it just made me so happy that some of them began to learn how much Jesus Christ loved them. Amen. And what a blessing it was. And matter of fact, one on Tuesday night, I believe with all my heart, accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'm just a little different about some of that stuff, but me and Devin had a long talk in pastor's office, and the countenance I seen on his face and everything, I really believe that he realized that he was lost and on his way to hell. And I really believe that he asked Jesus Christ to save him. I believe that. It kind of bothered me I didn't see him on Thursday and Friday night. But I do believe that something happened to that boy one way or the other. Amen. That night. But, you know, it'd be nice. This is what would be wonderful, Shelby, is if, you know, we could learn the lessons God would want us to learn just by telling us. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, even my kids, I mean, Roman's here, me and Roman, boy, I'm telling you, this boy, I'm proud of him, and then me and him, we butt heads like there's no tomorrow, because me and him have something in common. We're both have bad tempers. Me and him, I mean, when you got a child that has the same temper you got and the same everything, it gets rough sometimes, and I've had to let him know many a times he'll never be as mean as I am. He'll never accomplish that in his life. And it would be nice if I could tell him that and he would just learn that, wouldn't it? You know, Jesus had a hard time teaching his disciples. I mean, if we went back to the beginning and looked at all the different situations and all the circumstances and all that, Jesus, did he not just try to tell his disciples first about things? He did. He just tried to simply say, now let's sit down and talk about this for a while. Let's go up over here and sit down and have a talk for a while. And he would do that, and he would do that with the multitudes too. And he would sit them down and have a talk with them. It'd be nice if they would understand it and just get it by a simple talk. But as us adults can attest to it, we don't learn that way, do we? Very seldom do we ever learn just by somebody telling us. The bottom line and the sad part is we have to learn by experience. We have to learn by the hard ways. We have to learn the tough ways of life instead of just simply being told. My wife, she's a little different than I am. She can be told something. You know, she's one of those type when her father or mother told her the stove was hot, she didn't go over there and touch it. Amen? But that wasn't so with me. I had to prove it, right, that it wasn't hot and all those sort of things. And our teenagers are kind of like that. I've tried to explain to them about how much God loves them and Jesus loves them and all that. And we spent the whole week, I believe, talking about how early and how young people are dying today, did we not? I talked to you a lot about that. And most of you adults may not know this, but as I talked to them, and I gave them a bunch of examples and a bunch of children that have died over the last couple of years that they know, that are in their schools and all that stuff. Even while Vacation Bible School was going on, another teenager died this week. One in Ringgold, Chase Snodgrass, found under the railroad tracks dead, down there because of drugs or what have you. Hey, just turned 18. You can't tell me that somebody hadn't tried to tell him that Jesus loved him. You can't tell me that. I don't believe that. He went to school at Ringgold and all that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of those Ringgold teachers. And I was just at Ringgold last week taking a tour of it. Matter of fact, Ringgold High School allows one of the churches in Ringgold to have Vacation Bible School at the Ringgold High School. And I know what kind of stand they normally take down there. And you can't tell me that boy hadn't heard the gospel. He hadn't heard how much Jesus... And you know what? All he had to do was just listen. All he had to do was just listen to what Jesus had to say. All he had to do was just listen, and you know what? He would be with us today. He wouldn't have went down those paths, and he wouldn't have done all that stuff. I believe Jesus Christ without a doubt. I'm kind of like, I wished I was like Paul in the Bible. You know that? I do. I wished I was like him. You think about Paul for a minute. When Paul got saved, that was it for him, wasn't it? I mean, when he got saved, there ain't no more questioning God. There ain't no more, well, I might go there or not. I always get this when preacher preaches a message and half the stuff already got written down on my paper. It just blows my mind how God works that way. But he mentioned Paul this morning, and you know, when Paul got saved, Paul just followed God. And I mean, he was talking about the fullness of God this morning and all that kind of stuff. And it's true. You see, when Paul was separated from the church over there and he was sent out, and I mean, he was so connected to God that God tell him not to preach somewhere, and he knew not to preach somewhere. Yeah. And God would tell him, don't go here, but go there. And he was so close to God and so full of God and so close to God that he sensed that and knew where to go and where not to go. I wished I was like that. Amen. I wished I could say that for myself. I wish that I had those kind of things about me and had that kind of thing. You know how much God used Paul? He was so close to God. And preacher even said that this morning too. That God used Paul to write most of the New Testament. I mean, you're talking about being close to God, amen. You're talking about having a walk with God that's unbelievable. I believe when God told Paul something, he didn't have to learn it the hard way.
Right.
Amen? And Paul was willing to go all out for Jesus Christ. But then we come to the passage in here tonight, and I kind of picture myself, if Jesus was here today and all that stuff, I kind of would think of myself a little bit as a modern-day Peter myself. Amen? I mean, you think about the things Peter done and the way he acted and the stuff that he did and all that. Peter kind of, he loved God. There was no doubt about that, amen? I mean, all through the stuff we read about Peter, he loved God.
There's no question about that. Even Jesus asked him, he said, "Do you love me?" And he said, it kind of hurt Peter's feelings, didn't it? I mean, when you read that, I kind of feel like it hurt Peter's feelings because he said, "Lord, you know that I love you. Why would you even ask me a question like that? You know that I love you." And Peter was the one that was always trying to do right, even though he just missed it every now and then. Amen? I kind of feel like that sometimes. I feel like that oftentimes. And sometimes we miss some things of God. Sometimes, I don't know about you, preacher, this morning you was bubbling over.
Amen.
I mean, we could tell that. Amen? I mean, he was excited. He was bubbling over. And he whatever happened got him excited. And he was bubbling over this morning. And I love it when I feel that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I get excited about that. I'm like Paul. I try to make myself happy. Amen. Make myself happy when I'm not feeling good. And I'm telling you, when you're like that, the storms don't bother you. You know, you could be in the middle of a stinking storm that just driving you nuts and all that stuff. But when you get close to God and you're walking close to Him and you're looking at Him, even the storms don't bother you. And even not, and when you get like that, even people don't bother you. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, some people can come around that just drive you nuts, but I'm telling you, when you got your eyes focused on Jesus and you're looking to Him and all that, you can even tolerate people you can't stand. It's amazing how that thing works. And I'm going to throw one at you that's even bigger than that. When you're like that and you're so close to God and you're walking that close to God, kids don't even bother you. Amen. You remember last Sunday night I preached that message about grace and mercy and that woman at the well and all of that. And it didn't take but about 10 minutes and our grace and mercy was about over with most of them kids. Amen. I said that message didn't last very long on Monday night. Thank God it got better on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Amen. But Monday night was kind of trying. But sometimes it's just not that way. Sometimes we just don't have our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't look where we're supposed to look and we don't do all that stuff. And one thing I got out of this message, and I'll share it with you in a minute, that I wanted to share with you tonight is that one verse that we had, a memory verse, Psalms 121:2. Psalms 121:2 says, "My health cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Man, that's such a simple verse in the Bible, isn't it? My help cometh from the Lord. And how fitting this story in the Bible that we're reading tonight to be paired up with that verse. Peter began to learn, and the disciples began to learn through this trial here as we look into it. If we look in verse 23, did you not think that Jesus already knew what was going to happen on the water?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus already knew that the disciples were going to be in the storm, and I can't back this up scripturally, but you know, Jesus is trying to teach them. Jesus is trying to tell them the things of Christ and the things of God, and He's trying to teach them the things that are coming. And I wouldn't put it past you there in verse 23 that what He went up there to pray about was praying for them. Saying, "Lord, help them get this. Help them to understand what's fixing to happen." And He's up there. That's speculation. You can put that in there. Amen. I know that's not in your King James Bible, but maybe that's what He was doing. And it says there in verse 24, He says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." I think about our lives often. It's tossed with waves, is it not? I mean, so I don't know about you. I mean, I know some of y'all in here got that special walk with God and all that, and you don't even know when a storm's coming or when it's been there or when it's gone. But I know when they're there, amen? I know what it's like to have the storm. I know what it's like to be in the middle of the storm. I know all that stuff. And these disciples had found themselves in a predicament, did they not? I mean, they found themselves in the middle of this water with the winds blowing and being contrary and all that. And Sister Tammy, let me tell you something. They wasn't on one of them cruise ships neither. I mean, the wind can be contrary out there on the sea in a cruise ship. And the wind can be contrary. I was out there on some of them aircraft carriers, and I'm telling you, the winds could blow and the storms could come, and you really wouldn't know no difference if you was in the ship. It didn't matter. But I don't think it was that way when these disciples were out there on the water. I mean, that wind was blowing that little ship and what they were in, that boat, whatever, blowing it around, and they were struggling, and they were no doubt scared, Alma. You ever been scared before? I mean, I asked those little kids. I know some of you eavesdrop on my lessons, amen. I've seen you poking your head through the door and looking through the glass and all that stuff, just like them little kids, amen. But I asked them little kids if they was ever scared of anything. You know what they said? No, no. And then we talk about it for a little bit, and they go, yeah, we scared. You know, no doubt those disciples were a little scared in the situation they was in and all that. But in the midst of the storm, they had been with Jesus I don't know how long, but in the midst of the storm, here come Jesus walking on the water. Here come Jesus to them in a place where they never expected Jesus to show up. I mean, they had no, I guess they figured Jesus would be waiting on the other side, that he'd hitchhiked a camel to the other side or something, amen, that he'd be waiting on them when he got there. But here they are in the midst of a storm, the storm of their life, probably thinking they might die here, that this might be the end of the road and all that kind of stuff. And out of the middle of nowhere, the last thing they expected to see was this man walking on the water coming to them. In the midst of the storm. Something hit me like a ton of bricks Thursday night I never even thought about while I was teaching those little kids. I was sitting there teaching them kids, and my mind's thinking about a million other things about the story while I'm teaching them and all that. And when that Jesus came walking on the water, they were in the middle of the storm. And let me tell you something, the storm didn't calm down and ease up, and then Peter say, can I come out there with you? They were still in the middle of the storm. They were still being tossed about. There wasn't no glass water that Peter was asking to come out and walk on the water with Jesus. I mean, how many of you been on a lake before when a storm come up? I have. That water kicks and the waves come and all that stuff, and the boat gets kicked sideways and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. And it amazes me that Peter would even ask to come out and walk on the water with Jesus Christ. The reason why I preach on this tonight is every one of us are in storms sometimes. Every one of us. We all have storms. Some of them are big. Some of them are a little storm. Some of them feel like we're going to die and we ain't going to make it. But you know that verse in Psalm? It says, what does it say? The Lord is my help. He is my help. You know, Jesus come out there to help his disciples learn this one important thing, that he would never leave them or forsake them. You know, there's a lot of things people put faith in today. I mean, people put faith in the bank account. People put faith in the church house. I mean, you know, that's a pretty decent thing to put faith in. People put faith in other people and all that kind of stuff, but I have learned, and Devin, I've learned this with all my heart over the years that I've been saved, that no matter what kind of shape I get myself in or what kind of storm that I find myself in, Jesus Christ never leaves me or forsakes me. I may not be always able to see him in the middle of the storm like Peter did, but he's always there. Amen. And Peter got out. That just blows my mind that in the middle of the storm, I can see maybe being with Jesus. I mean, Jesus, do you know what Jesus just did? I mean, you Bible scholars. He just fed 5,000 with hardly nothing. I mean, they just seen Jesus perform a miracle, right? They just seen all that happen and what Jesus was capable of and what he was able to do and all that. And I'm telling you, Peter was probably still a little bit excited about seeing that. He was still probably a little bit excited seeing what Jesus Christ could really do. And when he seen Jesus out there, he just wanted to be with him out on the water. I wish I had that kind of faith sometimes, amen. I mean, that's some, we can look at that as just some simple faith. I mean, he just said, can I come out there? Can I come where you? I know that the water ain't slick. I know that it ain't firm and it's being swashed around and all that. But you know what made all the difference? He wasn't looking at none of that. He was so focused on Jesus Christ. That didn't matter what else was going on. It didn't matter how tore up his stomach was from being seasick. It didn't matter about none of that stuff. Didn't matter that he had 11 other guys in the boat screaming and hollering like a bunch of little girls. Amen. Oh, we're going to die. Oh, what's going to happen to us? All that kind of stuff. When Peter seen Jesus Christ, that's all that mattered. He had his eyes focused on him. He was just looking at him. It didn't matter about his bank account. It didn't matter about what boyfriend or girlfriend he had. It didn't matter about what kind of home life he had. It didn't matter about any of that kind of stuff, amen. As long as he was focused on Jesus Christ, it didn't matter that there was a storm going on in his life. He was on a straight path, straight to his Lord and Savior, straight to the one that would help him, straight to the one that would save him. Amen. And the only time that this whole thing went down and had a problem was when Peter started paying attention to what was going on around him. We see there in those verses, in that verse 14, or 14, but on down there, and verse 27, let's go on down to 29. One of Jesus' famous words. It's what? Come. He didn't tell Peter how he's going to do it. He didn't tell Peter the five-step plan to how to walk on water. Amen. He didn't tell Peter where the rocks were under the water, any of that stuff, amen? Jesus said, come. You know, we always trying to figure it out, ain't we? That's our problem. We trying to figure it out. God says, you know, in mission school 2 weeks ago, and it's good to do this because I always have questions about it myself too. And one of the things is, how do you start a church? Well, you know, these young missionaries raising their support, and man, here they are traveling the country, and they've been in a church their whole life. You know, 20, 25, 30, some of them 50 years old. Every now and then, one of them, old as Moses, you know, shows up, wanting to be a missionary, something like that, and the biggest question is, how do you start a church? Well, there ain't no five-step plan on how to start a church. There ain't all those kind of plans. You just go out and start winning people to the Lord, amen? Start telling them about Jesus, whatever God puts on your heart there. And before you know it, got church. Why? Because there ain't all that. There wasn't no five-step plan, and he tried to tell him how to walk on the water. Jesus just said, come. And when Peter stepped out, lo and behold, he was walking on the water. In the storm, in the midst of all of that, didn't matter what was going on in his life and everything else, he was just walking on the water. And until he looked around, everything was okay. Until he looked around at what was happening, we start to do what? Our faith starts to tremble a little bit. Our faith starts to get a little weak every now and then. Amen? I think about these Christian people. I'm babbling now, but I think about these Christian people that are married. Amen. Say they're a Christian husband, husband, wife, and all that, and just a little trouble comes into the marriage. Little storm comes in. Little things get a little off balance. And the first thing that they do is they quit looking at Jesus. And they start looking at the storm. You know who wants you to do that? The devil wants you to do that. That's exactly what his plan is. Get you distracted and get you eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he can get your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, he can mess all kinds of things up in your life. But I want to just end right here. I'm burning up and y'all are too. But I want you to look at what the answer is. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. Alma, I've been afraid before. I know you don't get scared. I've been afraid. I've been in some situations of my life to where I thought it would just be easier if God would just take me on to heaven. I ain't kidding you. I'm not joking with you about that. I've been in some of them storms where I didn't think that I could even get a nostril above the water to take another breath of air before. And I said, God, this would just be easier if you just take me on home. This would be easier if we just call it quits right here. I belong to you. You're my Father. And I you know, you said you'd never put nothing more on me than I can handle. And I think that we've reached that limit. Amen? Amen. I've been there. Amen. I said, I think I'm at that limit. I wish you'd quit testing me on this thing here. I agree with you. I'm at the quitting point. Let's go home. I say, Lord, if we ain't going home, then I need you to help me. Lord, if you're not going to take me home, then you're going to have to get me through this thing. Lord, if this is your battle, then I'm here, but you better send some help right now, or I ain't going to make it. I've been there. Peter was there. He done stepped out of that boat in the middle of a storm like a crazy man. Probably got halfway there and thought, what in the world am I doing? I can't walk on water. Only Jesus can do that. And when he got scared, it says, and when he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. That's a good place to be. You know, most of these battles we lose to ourselves because we don't count on the Lord to help us. You know, we fight and it may be a good fight. It may be something spiritual that we're fighting for. And we have a problem fighting for it because we don't call on the Lord to help us. Peter, we dog Peter all the time preaching. I try not to do that no more. He says, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him. How fitting that we sang that footprint song tonight. You know, I read that poem. I read that poem when I was lost. Any of y'all read that poem when you was lost? I did. I thought, well, that's some kind of crazy poem right there. That don't make no sense. That's what I said when I was lost. I said, I even had a picture of it on my wall at home because I thought it was a pretty picture. Beach and footprints. No, I had no idea what that thing meant. You know, sometimes in the middle of that storm, when you finally get to that point and you call out for Jesus to save you, he just catches you. And he said, I got you. Let me go ahead and take you on to the other side. You're going to learn something from this, but I'm going to take you to the other side. Right? I mean, did Peter not catch it in the next verse? I mean, he caught it in the next verse. But the bottom line is Jesus saved him and caught him. But then we look at the next verse there, same verse in verse 31, and Jesus said unto him, you understand that? He didn't say it to the other disciples that didn't even have the courage to get out of the boat. He said it to Peter, the one that had the faith to get out of the boat. And he told Peter, he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? You know, I've always thought this and I scold myself for it all the time. I trust Jesus Christ with my eternity. I have no question, Brother Sloan, if a man walked through that door like they did in South Carolina and shot me dead right here on this platform, where I'd be. I'd be present with the Lord. I have no doubt about that. I have no question about that. I don't even go to bed even wondering that when I go to bed if I don't wake up where I'd be. I don't have no questions about that. But then we doubt him. We have little faith when it comes to day in, day out things of our life, don't we? We'll trust him with the most important decision of our entire life, but then when it comes to day in, day out stuff with our health and with all these different things, we have little faith. You know what I learned from those little kids? I didn't learn nothing from teenagers, but I'll tell you what I learned from them first, second, third grades. Them first, second, third graders just believe. They just believe. They got the most simplest faith. They love Jesus. You know that? They may not act right all the time and all that stuff. You know they know more answers than the teenagers do? They do. I mean, even this one kid blew my mind this week. He's autistic, and you wouldn't think that he was listening to one word I said. I mean, he would get upset and do all the autistic stuff and everything. And I mean, you know, I was trying to be careful not to yell too much like I normally do, you know, like I do with y'all and scare him to death and all that. And we were right in the middle. These kids couldn't get the questions. Some of them couldn't get the answer. I don't even remember what I asked. Most of the time it was about Jesus or something, and I asked this one question and done called on about 15, 20 kids or so, and that little autistic boy put his hand up. He wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't look at nobody. His head was down, sitting in the floor, right there, sitting in the floor the whole time, crisscross applesauce. And I asked that question. He never even looked at me. He just put his hand up. And I said, "Yes, sir, boy," in whatever color shirt he had on, I think it's a blue shirt or something. I said, "What's the answer?" And he just told me the answer, just straight up. I about fell over. The simplicity of a child. Amen. Mind is not corrupted with everything out there that the world has to offer. His mind ain't messed up with all the ideas the world has. His ideas, Jesus is going to take care of me. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have that? Yeah. Peter had a lot of learning to do. And what gets me is in verse 33. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Makes me wonder to myself, why did it take that long for them to say that? Why didn't they say that when he was feeding the 5,000? Why wasn't he saying that whenever he called them away from being fishermen in his teeth? You know what I mean? Why did it take all this time? I've been saved for 19 years. The Lord's still teaching me things. Sometimes I sit and go, "Guess I should have learned that one about 18 years ago. Should have learned that one about 15 years ago. Should have learned that one the last five times that happened." Amen? Here these disciples are in this boat, and then they fall down and worship him and say, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You know, that's what matters tonight. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you call on him, he'll help you. I don't know how. Me and my wife do marriage counseling a lot. We were asked last week again by somebody who called me up. One of my customers called me up and wanted me to do marriage counseling with him. I talked to him for a little bit and I said, "I think you might as well call my pastor and talk to him, because I don't think I can help you." That's true, because his wife knows me and all that. I don't, you know, it wouldn't work. They need somebody else. But there's the truth of the matter. If them two, as bad as their marriage is, as bad as things have gotten, and it's pretty bad, if both of them would focus on Jesus Christ, if both of them would just look at Jesus Christ instead of everything that's going on around them, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he does it. But he'll make that thing right. I don't know how Jesus does that stuff, but he'll make it right. The least place you might expect him to show up, he might be walking on your water of the storm and say, "Just come out here and let me help you." Let's pray. Father.